there's no bigger story to me than what's happening with Israel and Hamas and this hostages coming home. That's all we need to say about that. Let's hear it from Karen Cataline. The one and only Karen Cataline.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word, vermischt. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of six shots of scotch.
Good morning, Karen Cataline.
Good morning, both of you, Ken and Vic. I was really looking forward to talking to you about all of this. I came prepared.
You did?
Yes, I did.
You got to step on me. I don't prepare for anything.
Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Ken. It's a great outlet for me, too, and especially to talk to both of you, who I've come to truly love and respect.
We love you back and respect you back.
Absolutely. And we're really glad to hear that, by the way.
I mean it absolutely sincerely. Should I launch?
Launch.
Yeah. I'll launch. And I wrote it so that I wouldn't go on for days and days because I knew that.
Right.
First off, Trump deserves nothing but credit. He is an astonishing leader who deserves the Nobel Peace Prize and a leader that we only see in many, many lifetimes. We should treasure these days. And his enemies know it. That being said, I want to say something I didn't say last week because I didn't know. I have a tendency when it comes to Israel, because it's such a massive chess game, and I believe it still is, that I tend to pay more attention to what has happened than what everybody is posturing may or might happen. I'm sure you can understand why.
Totally.
So that way, not only I don't get worked up about it, but I have a tendency to either delve deeply or skim over the top of it so that I can keep my own equilibrium. I think a lot of people do that with American politics as well. 2 years ago, the holiday that was being celebrated, because I did not know and I felt somewhat embarrassed, I'm just not super observant, but it was Simchas Torah, a very happy holiday of singing and dancing with the Torah. And Hamas and others certainly keep track of Jewish holidays. That being said, the statistics for what's happening here in the prisoner exchange, only one small part of all this, is what I have read, and it changes daily. 48 Israelis, 28 of them dead, last checked, and 17, let's see, wait a minute, 1,700 Palestinians detained, 250 Palestinian prisoners with life sentences who are being released. Now, Hamas, just this morning, is saying they don't even know where all the bodies are, which is to be expected because this is who these people are. This imbalance can mean only one thing. It's been the history of dealing with terrorist organizations who want to destroy Israel and just haven't succeeded, thank God, it can mean only one thing, and that's how precious life is to Jews in Israel and all good people, living or dead. Life is precious. Each Israeli tortured, sorry, I'm getting emotional.
Okay.
Tortured hostage who was innocent, who didn't ask for this, and Israel didn't ask for this war. 43 of them are equal to 43 so-called Palestinians are equal to one life, Israeli life, living or dead. Hard to believe. And the terrorists have always known that. And that's the only bargaining chip they know. That's the only bargaining chip they have. Trump understands this. So all they have are dead bodies and victims of terror to bargain with their survival, Hamas's survival. So what you have here, it's always been a one-handed handshake. These terrorists and Hamas got a whole lot for their terror. They were rewarded for it. It was a planned event 2 years ago that activated Jew hatred propaganda all around this world. Yes, they plan to globalize the Intifada. And that's what this despicable Democrat candidate in New York has and is really does believe. All of that said, there isn't anybody in the world in these amazing times who could actually make peace in the Middle East. Now, what does peace look like? We have to wait and see what that looks like. These folks have never kept their promises, and Trump is finding that out. But the other thing that Israelis care about is peace. They want to live in peace. So they're always willing. And then, of course, there's a lot of political unrest and disagreement because Israel is a free country. So I'm watching, but I usually try to watch when something actually happened. And I was watching that amazing press conference where journalists, independent journalists, were talking about their injuries and putting their lives in danger. Andy Ngo, a perfect example. This was an astonishing press conference and showed that the same kind of propaganda, in fact, Hamas was mentioned, the same kind of propaganda has been used here to justify violence and to brainwash skulls full of mush that good is evil and evil is good. So I was watching when he got that note. I watched as they left the conference, and then an hour later this happened. What a time we are living in.
And I'm done. Yeah, fantastic. I mean, that's just, I can't even add to that, but I'll try.
Please do.
I love the question. I love the question because we're so Jew hater shy. What does peace look like? I don't think Israel's ever really had the chance to know that fully. They're always on guard, right?
Well, peace does not mean let your guard down, obviously. Peace has not meant land for peace. It never worked. It never will work. Peace does not mean acknowledging yet another terrorist state in a so-called two-state solution. None of that is peace. It's all been tried, and all it's done is resulted in dead Jews and a whole lot of dead so-called Palestinians. I don't know what to call them. They're really not. They call themselves Palestinians. Don't even want to go there. I'm not a historian, but they're not Palestinians. Whatever they are, they're Arab Muslims who have been bathed in Jew hatred, that they will give their lives in order to kill Jews. How the question really is, and it's in the peace plan, although I don't know all the aspects about it. I don't know if anybody does. It is the peace plan. How do you change hearts and minds when they've already made attempts to so-called globalize the Intifada? That's their greatest weapon, is hatred, scapegoating of Jews, uniting themselves under the banner of hate. And since we have a death cult in this country that justifies, apologizes, and cheers Hamas, we got a pretty big problem. My greatest hope is I've never seen anybody like Trump. I don't think anybody has ever seen a president like Trump. Is he human? Oh, yeah, he's human. But it is amazing the times we're living in. I think even Arab leaders have acknowledged that if anybody could do this, it would be Trump. And you know what? Even if he fails partially or in some way, he deserves nothing but credit for doing so, because we have had flat out anti-Israel presidents in this country, namely, POTUS 44.
Yep.
Who hated, despised Benjamin Netanyahu.
And Karen, the part that I think I'm saddest about, but it also angers me the most, is the fact that you have people in leadership in this country who are actually glad to see if this doesn't work. They're very angry right now that this is actually working. And to pivot off of what you just said there, think about this for a second. 2 years went by and Joe Biden couldn't do anything about this war. Had Trump been president, they talk about those 60,000 lives that were lost in Gaza. That's on the blood of Biden, as far as I'm concerned, because Trump stopped it.
Well, first of all, the numbers that are used, this is what people do not seem to understand. I'm not saying you, but it's like when you're getting your numbers from Hamas, you don't exactly know. I mean, they are experts in propaganda. So if you want to get, they won't let journalists in to Gaza. They never would. So people who are being paid, I'm seeing all kinds of videos now coming out. In fact, there was a whistleblower journalist who said that he wrote about Hamas and Gaza. And when he mentioned that there were that bombs were being placed under hospitals, that the numbers aren't accurate or whatever they said, he got a call from his boss saying, you have to remove this. They got to him. So there's an enormous amount of misinformation, and the numbers aren't the key. The key is that if people are dying in Gaza from starvation or even, and I would admit there definitely are innocent people in Gaza, although they've all been bathed in hatred for Israel and the Jews, but they don't deserve to die for having been brainwashed. The problem is all of them are their blood and their suffering is on at the feet of Hamas, who started the war, number one, and who confiscated their food so they could use their own citizens as political pawns in their propaganda war. And the amazing thing is we got political pawns in this country who are too stupid to see that.
And real quick,
that's
Karen,
the hard part.
Real quick, I just wanted to say that when I said the 60,000, I should have put parentheses around that. Because I totally agree with you. Yeah.
You gotta. And you know, we don't always get that message out, because once people have become, once people start watching and listening to Tucker and Owens, all bets are off. They'll believe anything you tell them. They'll believe that the Jews stopped the sun from coming up in the morning. And sadly, this is not a new thing. For whatever the historical biblical reasons, and you can ask 100 people and get 5,000 different answers, the Jews are the most convenient scapegoat there is. Dennis Prager says, see people as individuals. Yes, we're a people. But we're a people made up of individuals.
Absolutely. All right. So I have somehow five things to fit into a couple of minutes here. First thing I want to say is my stomach jumped when Marco Rubio walked. Well, he actually only had to walk two people away, right? He was at that table, one away from President Trump, and whispered into President Trump's ear. I said, oh, my God, this is it, right? And I got all jumpy butterflies in my stomach. And it's exactly what it was. Okay, let's see what else here. Chris Hayes, disgusting human being that works on MSNBC, said that Trump's just doing this to win the Nobel Peace Prize. That's all.
Oh, God, that's great. That's all they know is self-aggrandizement. They see everything in those terms. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
Go.
And of course, years after this whole thing is done, I will always remember Kafir and Ariel Bibas, the two.
We'll never forget them.
Youngest
never.
Hostages. And I don't know how to do. I don't know what order to do this in. All right. So I'll do this first. We have a segment called Porcelli's Deli that comes up at 10:25, and today we're going to have some of Hyman Roth's voice
the real one, the real Hyman Roth.
How many Hyman Roths is there?
Oh wait, Hyman Roth, not Meyer Lansky.
Hyman Roth.
Okay.
And it's not even about him; it's about Arnold Rothstein in the 1919 World Series.
I love it. Oh, that's good. That's a great scene. I can see him with his leg up on the arm.
Oh my God! Exactly. And he's so, I'm sorry, you know how to take this, right? He's so Jewish. Oh, my God. He's such a Jew. And he's got his leg over the thing.
He is.
Do you follow football?
Yeah, small potatoes.
Right. Michael says, no, I don't follow football. I like football. Baseball, too.
I like
too.
Football.
baseball, too.
Well, you know, what's his name? Strasburg?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was Jewish.
No.
He was.
I thought he was Italian all these years. You know what's great about that movie is, and not just this movie, but And Justice for All as well.
Yeah.
Where it's Lee Strasberg, the teacher, acting against Al Pacino, the student, you know?
How about that?
And it's like, it's almost like a homework assignment when they were 12.
It's really classic, isn't it?
And finally, Karen, I'm having a rough time. I really am. Because I have said Antifa is using Bella Chow as their
yes.
I don't know. What do you call it, Ken? Their battle cry? Can you play it?
Their slogan.
Right. And they stole it because Antifa, they're not anti-fascist, they're fascists. And this is Italian Heritage Month. I don't know if you know that. October.
I didn't.
It is. It's Italian Heritage Month. So we play this every once in a while, you know, because it's Italian. And it's what the partigiani sang when they were fighting Mussolini. I think we can all agree that Mussolini was a true fascist, yeah?
I think he was one of the first fascists.
Right.
And in
the modern era, yeah.
But it's all in line with turning black white, turning good evil, evil good. It's all the same thing. Fascists calling everybody else fascists.
The partigiano. Sorry.
I love it.
I know all the words to this in Italian. I'm gonna say that, yeah.
But you'll have to do that on my segment sometimes.
Yes. There's this guy getting on me for playing this because he says it's a communist song.
It
right?
isn't. And you have to take back their hijacking. You have to take back what's yours. Just like the word Zionist. There's nothing poisonous bad about Zionists. It just means somebody who supports the state of Israel,
right.
which to them is poison.
And the last,
so take it back.
The last line of the song is, "Morto per la libertà," I will die with liberty. How many communist ideals use the word liberty?
None. Zip.
Thank
nada.
You. If Karen Cataline's on our side, that's all I need, Ken.
I'm on your side.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Take care.
Bye, Karen.